We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Thursday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM. You know, using your choice to choose to do things that are going to benefit you spiritually, that is a wise investment. And so I want to commend you and believe God with you today that today is going to be 30 minutes that you listen to this program is going to be an investment that is going to pay huge, huge dividends for you in your life. My name is Bob Arthurs. You're listening to the Refresh Radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening. We are available on WWBC 1510 AM. They had some challenging issues on the AM station here not too long ago, but it is available 1510 AM on 1030 of a morning, and it is also available on the on-demand feature at the bottom of the WMIEFM.com, WMIEFM.com. Scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page, and on your right-hand side, you'll find a Listen On Demand feature, and you can type in what date you're looking for. That will give you a little pop-up menu. You can click on Refresh with Bob Arthurs, and you will be able to listen to or download that program like you would a podcast or something along those lines. So we are very thankful for you making this investment. Today we're going to once again be talking out of Matthew chapter 5, you are the light of the world. And Psalm 18 is where we're going to be, one of my favorite passages of Scripture. It is also found in 2 Samuel, right now I want to take you to Psalm 18, verse number 25. We're going to read verses 25 through 29, and it says, "With the merciful you will show yourself merciful, with a blameless man you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure, and with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. For you will save the humble people, but will bring down haughty looks. For you will light my lamp, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, by my God I can leap over a wall." So I'll highlight the portion that we're going to We're focusing on with this verse, and then we're going to set the stage for it. Verse number 28, "For you will light my lamp, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." And so God is very much intent on lighting up every area of our life. You know, sometimes you'll watch movies, and when they are getting ready to release artillery or armaments against something, they will say a phrase very similar to this: "Let's light it up," and then boom, 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 boom. All these explosions are taking place. The light is coming out of every place, and that plan, that strategy that had been targeted, is being devastated, and so we're really looking for God to bring light even into situations in our life that are dark. You know, the other day we were talking about a portion in Job. My take on the book of Job is that there were issues in Job's life that God was wanting to deal with that Job didn't even know were in there. I'm not saying Job was a horrible person. I don't believe that he was. If he was a horrible person, God would not have initiated the conversation. "Hey, have you ever considered my servant Job?" He's a righteous and man and blameless in all that he does. He wouldn't have been bragging on his kids. It's not whether or not God is proud of us. God is looking to bring light even to the areas of our life that are darkened by sin, and they have not had the revelation of God's word being imparted into their life. So that's where we are going to work. But I want to point out to you, I made a note as I was preparing for this broadcast, and the number of times that it says with this particular group or with this particular person, and then that is coupled with a you will or a God will, it describes how God is going to deal in that situation. So even though God is fair and just, the activity that he does in our lives is predicated upon how we are actually acting as people. It's not a stretch of God's word. He deals differently with his children than he does with those who are not walking in covenant with him. With my kids, each one of them required customized parenting. Not any one of my three children have the exact same personality. They don't all have the same likes and the same dislikes. They're not all going through the same. Each one of them requires custom attention. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. On Father's Day, I was preaching, and it's like, there are some people who think, if I can just get my kids to 18, I'm done. That's not true. That's just not true. And so you and I, we need to realize how God will deal with us. Now, here in the New King James Version, it says, with the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. There's another translation, the NIV, that says, with the faithful, to the faithful, you will show yourself faithful. So I when I looked at, the possible translations, I could see where it could go either way. So whenever I preach this, I preach both aspects. I want to be merciful because I need God's mercy, and I want to be faithful because I want God to be faithful to me. And so there is this with and God will do this. And I want to focus on that God will thing. He will behave that way. He is telling you, this is what is going to happen. One of the definitive distinctions between God and the devil is that the devil will always try and surprise you. He will keep you in the dark, and then he will spring the fine print on you after you're already ensnared. Not so with God. God tells you up front, this is how I'm going to treat you. And so with the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. So I want to ask you today, do you want God to be strict with you, or do you want God to be merciful with you? How do you want to treat him? Because he says that he will treat you, he will treat me the way that we are treating other people. So I believe that we will see the faithfulness of God. This is a revealing. He says, with the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. It is a revelation of God's character and his dynamic in our life. He says, you're going to be revealed to, for how a person is, that is how you are going to reveal yourself to them. I was doing a study one time on the book of Ezekiel, when I was trained in Bible study, the professor said, you always want to look for key themes, things that are talked about over and over and over again. So in Philippians, you will find the words joy and rejoice a great deal of time. And 1 Thessalonians, five chapters. In each of those chapters, there will be a portion of that book that is talking about the return of the Lord. So that's a very important theme. It was on the writer's mind and in his spirit when he was writing to the Thessalonians. So when we see that God will do these things, this is how he is going to reveal himself, we need to pay attention. We need to pay attention. It says, with a blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. Now, there's only one path to blamelessness here in our earthly life, and that is through the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I told you about the trip to the eye surgery. You know, I didn't do it. You know, when people come up to me and they say, "Pastor, can I talk to you?" You know, I always like to kind of break the ice and say something funny. And it's like, "Hey, I didn't do it. I had an alibi. It was my twin brother." I don't have a twin brother. So I do that, you know, kind of as a deflective thing. But in reality, when we do not accept the responsibility that we should be accepting, then we're not demonstrating blamelessness. We may convince ourselves that we're not at fault, but the easiest person for me to lie to is myself. I will never forget having a conversation with my son. I said, "You know, after this project, after I get this done, I'm gonna slow down." And my son said this, "Dad, you're lying to yourself." And he wasn't mocking me. He wasn't demeaning me or anything like that. He was just being real and saying, "No, you've always been, you know, pedal to the metal. That's the way you've always been. And until God says he's done with you, that's probably going to be the way that you are always going to be." So it is very important for us to be able to say that we are blameless. And the reason that we can say that is not because we are not guilty, but it's because we are forgiven. I'm not blameless because I didn't do the things that the devil accuses me of doing. I am blameless because my record has been expunged by the blood of the Lamb. I have been pardoned by the King. And so when in Ephesians it talks about that Jesus is going to present us as a bride that is without spot and without blemish, that we are going to be blameless, it is because he has done such a great work on our behalf. So he says, with a blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. If we are condemning one another, then we are going to experience the condemnation. The verse number 26 is actually how I stumbled upon this passage, is because I was doing a study on purity, and it says, with the pure, you will show yourself pure. Have you ever wondered how two people could look at the exact same God, the exact same scripture, one coming out praising God for how holy and righteous and true he is, and the other person pointing his finger at God and cursing him and thinking that he's getting the short end of the stick in life? It has to do with the purity of our heart, because we affect our perception. You've heard the saying, perception is reality. Well, that is only true because our condition impacts the way we perceive things. So to a person who never sees one person do anything right, they are going to find fault with every person, including a holy, righteous, and loving God. But to those of us who've been forgiven, you know, we can't help but to see the goodness of God. It's easy for me to find something to praise God for, because I just realized that he is so good to me. The counter effect to this is, so we got three positives. Now we've got one negative. It says, and with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. To those who are plotting and scheming, those who are not willing to do life the way that God wants. It says that he will show himself shrewd. And when I was studying this years and years ago, this is a sermon that I can preach. I don't even really need notes for this one, is that God will stand in the path of that person and oppose them, not because he wants to be their enemy, but because he wants to spare them from the destruction that the path they're on is going to lead them to. It is not God's will for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance and to come to everlasting life. But just like you had the choice to listen to this station or to listen to another station, you made a choice. God gives us the ability to choose life or to choose death, to choose heaven or to choose hell. The choice is ours. But the cross is a testament that the only way that we are going to go into a godless eternity, separated from the goodness and the greatness of God, is over his dead, buried, and resurrected body. He will be standing there saying, "This is not the way I intended for your life to go." All the time trying to get us to reverse course and for him to position us not on the broad path that leads to destruction, but on the narrow path that leads to everlasting life. There's a saying that says, you know, for the child of God, God saying yes and God saying no should evoke the same celebration in us, knowing that if he denies our request, it is because he has information that we do not know. And we don't go away pouting and throwing a temper tantrum because we didn't get our way. We go away rejoicing that God is going to get his way. So he says, just a couple of more you wills before verse number 28. You will save the humble people, but will bring down haughty looks. I tell you, pride, it ought to be one of those things that terrifies us. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God brings down or humiliates the haughty, but he will save the humble. I tell people there is a difference between humility and humiliation. Humility is having control of our own thoughts and emotions, and we humble ourselves, where humiliation is a proud and an arrogant person who refuses to submit, who refuses to be humbled, and a more powerful person coming along and actually embarrassing them, humiliating them. God gives grace to the humble. And so, by the way, two words there, you will, those are not optional. Those are things that the Holy Spirit inspired David to say to let us know this is what he will do. Verse number 28, for you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. So here's where we're getting it to our light. Now, where we talked about on yesterday's program, Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us, and God makes his light. He is our source. Now it says, you will light my lamp. That means that we have the responsibility to say, God, here's my permission. It's my will to be the light of the world the way that you have commanded me to be. The one who lights that initial flame is us. In the Old Testament, the olive oil was a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And when a lamp was being lit, it was the oil that was actually being set ablaze. And so you and I, we've got to say, God, we do not want this fire to go out. The New Testament says it like this. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. We don't want to put that out. And so he says, you will light my lamp. That is not just for a pastor. That is not just for a king, not just for a board member or a worship leader or a Sunday school teacher. It is for every child of God. He wants the light of Jesus Christ shining and emanating from us. But it says, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Now, many times we want to think about the atmosphere, and you know, I've talked about that, looking for creative ways to bring light. But I also want to talk to you about boundaries that we try, or boxes, limitations we try and put up to restrict the movement of God. There, God should have unfettered access to every room in our personality. There's a concept that is out there right now that is called compartmentalization, where we live in compartments. So my personality at work is different than my personality at home, which is different than my personality when I'm out in public, which is different from my personality when I'm in church. And so for postmodern man who's embraced a compartmental, they, even though their personality at work and at church or in public or at home may be diametrically opposed to one another, they can honestly say, no, that's really who I am in this compartment. But when I get out of this compartment and get into this other compartment, I'm a completely different person because that's what that compartment requires. God is looking for us to be the same everywhere we go. He is looking for us, for our light to shine when we're at church. He is looking for our light to shine when we're at home. He's looking for his light to shine through us in our public relationships. He's looking for his light to shine in our finances, in our hobbies, whatever it might be. He's looking for us to be like the sun. Do you realize that the sun shines nonstop? It does not waver. We don't see it all the time because of the rotation of the earth, but the sun never stops being the light giver to this entire galaxy. And you and I are meant to be that as well, faithful. So I want God to shine his light into every area of my life. That's the refining process. You know, when God's light shines into a dark area, the darkness has got to go. The less spiritual darkness we have in our lives, the better our lives are going to be, and the more effective and the more attractive the God inside of us is going to be. So, he says, for by you, I can run against a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. None of that is possible without allowing God the access to make us the light of the world that he wants us to be. I don't know about you. I have a very strong attitude about losing. I hate it. Despise it. Can't stand it. I just don't like losing. So when our kids were growing up, I'd say, okay, what's the first rule about playing this game? Dad's got to win. Okay. Now, if I lose, then we've got to go for 2 out of 3. If I lose again, we've got to go 3 out of 5. It's just one of those things. I don't like to lose. And so I don't like to lose to the enemy. I don't like to lose to the forces of hell a great deal. I can actually handle not winning, but it's not something I want to get accustomed to when it comes to a board game or golf or something like that. I can deal with it. My team's won the Super Bowl. My team's lost the Super Bowl. It didn't change my life one way or the other. My team's won the college national championship. It's lost the college championship. Didn't change my life one way or the other. My personality is not linked to that. But losing spiritually, that has a price tag. And so whenever God lights up your life and lights up my life and begins to expose darkness, defeat is no longer an option. And it's not because of who we are. It is because of the God who has just lit up our darkness. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness, for by you, God, I can run against a troop. That means that David had already come to realize that him and God versus an enemy of any size was a recipe for victory. It didn't matter if it was one, didn't matter if it was 1,000, didn't matter if it was 100, didn't matter. It just didn't matter. Didn't matter if they were taller than David was, didn't matter if they were more experienced than David was. God was going to bring the victory. And he said, by my God, I can leap over a wall. Are there any barriers in your life that it just seems like you keep hitting that barrier over and over again? Are there any times that you just felt like the enemy was more powerful than you? Well, when we say, God, we want you to light our lamp and enlighten any area of darkness, I want you to understand that your perception about what is possible through the God inside of you is getting ready to radically change. Do not embrace a defeatist mindset when you have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords living on your side. There's been many times when I was younger that I would snatch defeat right out of the jaws of victory. I would be set up for victory, and because of some things that I thought, I would snatch defeat. But you know what happens now when God has brought revelation to that situation through other people in my life? Now, when it looks like I'm set up for defeat, God says, no, you're not going to lose this one. You're set up for victory. God bless you. I pray that he lights your lamp today and enlightens your darkness. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.